welcome to Podcast of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the Screen Invasion Radio podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. And this week we're talking about the episode I Spy. I'm Crystal Bailey with my co-host,
Kevin Taylor. I'm back from Germany, and Crystal had reason to be jealous. It was totes awesome, in her words. Just a brief, not even probably 30 seconds of my thoughts on the Asset episode. I listened to Crystal's podcast. I don't necessarily agree that it was my favorite of the three episodes. I still think I preferred the pilot more, but that might also have just been because it was the first one and it was my first intro to it, but I liked the storyline of the main guy. I did like it, though, and of course, one of the things that I loved the most at the end was Melinda May saying that she was back in, and that's something we're going to get to in a bit with this one because she was kind of a badass again, but let's start off with something else that you addressed in that episode and something I agree with you. Agent Ward, who was somewhat featured tonight, at least especially in the second half of the episode where he had the glasses on and was doing the mission by himself, still not the most enthralling of characters, had a couple funny moments, but still not too great.
Yeah, I agree. Still one of the weaker links. But he got some great stuff this episode, this week. You know, that whole infiltration into that lab or whatever it was. It was entertaining. It was exciting. You didn't know what he was going to have to do next. And, I mean, that provided my favorite moment of the episode was when he gets in, like, he's deep inside the building. And he's like, he gets the message that Target acquired, please stand by. And just as he's saying, like, it's never good, but I'll do whatever it takes to figure out and get to the next step. Just as he says that, he gets the message that he's supposed to seduce him, which is hilarious because, you know, it's supposed to be the other agent, the female agent, yes, who could have seduced him. Yes. But
he's not as likely.
Yeah, he probably couldn't do it. And, well, we know he couldn't do it. And that whole bit was just hilarious to me, and his little, like, help at the end where he's talking to Skye about how is he going to do this.
I like Skye's description of, oh, you know, he has facial hair and is mildly balding. I don't know if he's really in, if you guys are on the same team or whatever it was. That was pretty funny. Yeah, definitely. That his face at a rare moment actually provided some physical comedy, which we don't really see a lot from him. So I think there's definitely potential there for him to grow. And it was nice to see him kind of shine a bit with some one-on-one time with the camera, if you will. Another great part, as we mentioned before, we're going to get back to it now, Melinda May got into a bit of a chick fight.
Badass!
There was a lot of kicking and...
Yeah, it was really badass when Melinda May goes to the hotel and she ends up fighting with the agent Akilah. And at first it starts out, you know, with Akilah, she doesn't want to look at her because that'll let her handler know that something's amiss. But then, of course, as soon as she does look at her, they have to throw down. And that moment where Akilah throws the plate shard and Melinda May just, you know, emotionless, like, steps aside, that was pretty awesome. It reminded me of Coulson in the pilot where the door blew off and he just, you know, nonchalantly, like, goes back so that way it flies over his head. Such an awesome move.
Wasn't long enough for me. The fight only lasted about a minute. I guess it is TV, so you can't really have the 10-minute epic four-room fights that you have in movies.
I don't know.
Chuck could have been a little while longer.
Chuck had some awesome fights back in the day. Yeah. Like, there was an awesome fight on Chuck between Sarah Walker and Nicole Richie, who was on the show as a guest star. Like, they had an awesome fight that seemed to go on, like, a good amount. So I feel like that could have been stretched. But they do have a lot to fit in, so you got to make do. But, yeah, so that was another, like, great moment from this episode. I know you liked the gun moment with Skye.
Yes, it had plant and payoff, which Crystal loves to talk about. It's one of her favorite things, especially that Joss Whedon does. And there was a bit about how they were joking that they weren't really she wasn't really combat ready, and how she always mixed up the safety and the magazine clip. And lo and behold, when she needs to release the safety the most in the heat of the battle, she undoes the magazine, which was, I laughed, I LOL'd.
Yeah, it was a funny moment, but at the same time, it also, like, highlights, you know, just how these three smart people, you know, Fitzsimmons and Sky, are not equipped to be out in the field. And it's like a really bad ratio to have six people on your team and three of them are practically useless in the action, in the heat of the moment. So, I mean, I know Sky is working on it with Ward. So hopefully after a few growing pains like that moment and maybe a couple other like laugh out loud bits, hopefully she gets it and can be a bit more of an asset other than just the hacking stuff, because having, like I said, having like half the team unable to hold their own, like during an emergency, during like, you know, an unexpected moment like that, it's just not going to end well for everybody.
That's fair. But I also think that, you know, it's better than the alternative, which is the not so believable. She's completely badass and kicks someone's ass immediately in her first time in the field. You know, this is her first time as an agent and training, and she is going to make mistakes. And I'm glad that they're just not glossing over that and immediately assuming that we think she knows how to, you know, shoot a guy from 30 feet away or can take someone down.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I do think there should still be like some growing pains and stuff, but like she needs to see more action.
Yeah.
And fast, because I mean, this team, they're all about the action. They're all about going out in the field and helping people or stopping people, or, you know, whatever the mission calls for.
She had her solo mission last week where, you know, they had her.
Yeah, and she held her own.
Yeah, so maybe she's a lover, not a fighter. Maybe that's how her character will develop.
She'll be the one doing the seducing.
Yeah, I mean, she would make sense, right?
I guess. But yeah, so one of the other things that I didn't really like about this episode, it's no fault of the actual episode, because I thought the reveal of how she was Coulson's protege and like everyone thought she was dead and you thought she was just a rogue agent, she had gone off the rails. Like, I liked how they handled it and then they revealed that she was actually being controlled. I liked it so much that I wish the preview hadn't given that away.
Yeah.
Like, that would kind of bother me, because like the whole lead up to that moment, I already knew what was going to happen, because in the preview you saw that moment where Coulson's like, she's being controlled. So
yeah, come on guys, what the hell? There's gotta be some suspense. Like, we can't know everything going in. It's bullshit. No, I mean, I understand that. That's fair. It did definitely take away from the tension and, you know, the moment, and it would have been nice to kind of be caught off guard by that, because then we could be like, oh, well, then who was controlling her? You know,
yeah.
Be an immediate on the spot thing. That's definitely, you know, I definitely could see we were going there. Something that was interesting that you kind of touched on last week, where you weren't sure if Graviton was going to be a villain for all the rest of the season. At the very least, for this episode, he wasn't mentioned at all. Which I thought was interesting, because, you know, obviously you had the reveal in the last shot. That was your going out scene from last week. And then you don't mention him this week, which I can understand. You have to establish other things. I think I'm okay with it, but I hope that they at least bring it up next week, because then I think 2 weeks is too long to kind of hold off on it.
I don't know. I liked that they didn't mention it, mainly because this episode also kind of introduced a different possibility for the big bad for the season. So, like, at first, the first two episodes, this was, you know, all very contained, the team getting together type stuff. Then the third episode, they introduced Graviton barely, you know. You just get the teaser with his hand coming out of that machine thing, and he's locked away in the depths of who knows how far and like unlabeled. So it'll be a while before he makes an appearance again, or he's thought of again, because nobody knows that he's actually like alive-ish down there.
And yeah, what we also have to remember is in the pilot, when they had the evil scientist lady, and she was talking about, I think she was talking about the people who were funding her project, or the people who were above her, and how you didn't want to mess with them, or you didn't want to, you know, there was a tease about, oh, they could be the ones that are the main opposition for the shield. Perhaps they're planting that, you know, they're planning so that they'll come back and, you know, maybe they'll team up with Graviton, or maybe they will team up with, maybe they are the people who are controlling.
Yeah, there's lots of loose ends, and like, we don't exactly know which villain they're going to go with, or maybe it's all parts, like you said, of like one major villain organization. Yeah, it's early days, and this has been confirmed for 22 episodes.
Yeah.
So they've gotten now the timeline, and they know how they can space it out. But yeah, and then another thing I thought was interesting was that they talked about how there's no ESP telepathy or even like telekinesis really about like in this world of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, mm-hmm. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. world, which is pretty much like a clear line in the sand that the X-Men don't exist in this timeline.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting because they usually have coexisted, but I can understand why they wouldn't want to do that considering Fox owns the X-Men characters from the movies, and Marvel doesn't own them in terms of like actually making movies and TV, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why, like, on that end, they'd want to go that route. And then who knows, maybe one day season three or whatever, they can be like, oh, this is the first telekinesis.
That's pretty much what I was gonna say, where that's understandable for now, but it doesn't completely shut the door on them possibly bringing them in the future. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of all about dealing with new supervillains constantly, and though there's gonna be some stuff out there that they haven't seen before that is probably gonna come in at some point. So I'm not too overly concerned with that. I'm also didn't really even think about bringing X-Men in, and I don't know if, well, I guess we'll see if maybe they do it with other villains, but I'm pretty happy with the focus that they have on it now, and I don't think they really need to expand it out to cover more.
Think they need to. I just thought it was very interesting that, you know, in the Marvel Universe, comic book universe, they have all of these characters with ESP, telepathy, and telekinesis. You know, it's and instead of maybe leaving that open for an unused mutant character to come in, they're just like, nope, doesn't exist.
Maybe that's level 8 clearance, or what is it they say? Maybe.
Yeah, now they're at level 7.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe telepathy and ESP, level 8.
That might be what it is. I mean, what else is up after level 7 besides what can there be, you know?
Yeah.
ESP would definitely be up there, I'd say.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, that was the main stuff that I liked. As I mentioned, I like that the handler ended up being another pawn.
Yeah.
It shows the bigger stakes, the bigger kind of evil that's out there. Because, you know, if they have this technology, who knows how many other agents they have kind of in their pocket. And what the actual organization is that's doing this.
Yeah. No, definitely. It's a good point that you made earlier about how there are a lot of loose ends after pretty much every episode. There really hasn't been, if you will, a clean tie-up on really any episode, even the one that probably had the smoothest one, which was the second episode. You had Sky, you know, texting her old workers at the end, you know, again, bringing up questions. So there's definitely a lot of things that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have time to establish and come back to, which will make it that much more exciting, and it's something that I'm very curious to see, and definitely makes me want to watch the next episode, and I'm hooked, and I'm ready to watch the whole season. So
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so that pretty much does it for us. Let us know what your thoughts are in the comments of these articles. We love to hear from you guys, and if you have any things you think that we should talk about on next week's podcast, let us know.
Yeah, tweet us. You can tweet me at Crystal_Bailey or at Screen Invasion.
You can tweet me at Take2, TayKe2.
And be sure to follow at Invasion Radio on Twitter as well. That's where all of our podcasts get posted. And we thank you all for listening.
Thanks, guys.